The church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Monday, July the 17th, we're going to take up the subject of a recent Teen Vogue column teaching teenagers, that's the audience of Teen Vogue, and mostly teenage girls, obviously, about what we could call non-coital sexual activities. But let's be honest, and if you have kids listening, beware. Conversation gets, necessarily a little explicit over the next few minutes of the program. Teaching teenage girls how to have anal sex in Teen Vogue. Joining us to talk about this and react to it, D.C. McAllister, a journalist based in Charlotte, North Carolina, senior contributor to The Federalist and author of a recent column titled Moms Have a Good Reason for Burning Teen Vogue Over Anal Sex Explainer. D.C., welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Even if this column had not appeared in Teen Vogue, would you recommend the magazine to parents or to their teenage kids?
Absolutely not. And it is saturated in sexualization. And that's detrimental to the kids. So no, I wouldn't recommend it at all.
So how would you describe in the politest terms possible, and that's a difficult task, what one might have found in Teen Vogue recently?
It is a difficult task, and I'm sorry that we're even having to discuss this, and we shouldn't be talking about this in the public square in this way, but because of how our culture has declined morally, here we are. There was an article that just gave explicit directions on how to properly have anal sex, and it was presented in the context that this is a good and healthy thing to do. And they said, we're just giving you the how-tos and warnings about what to do when you're engaged in this. And a mother was reading that and just said, no, this is unacceptable, and we need to pull this kind of stuff from the shelves and not have our children exposed to this kind of literature that's, you know, just having these kind of activities encouraged.
So let's deal with the healthy claim here. What's the real medicine other than the Teen Vogue version of medical advice on this activity?
Well, first of all, as far as the education goes, it needs to come from the parents about what's happening. But as far as the health risks, there are many health risks to this kind of behavior. And a lot of times, condoms don't protect in this kind of behavior. And it causes all the same kind of STDs that regular sex has. It also is the best way to get HIV, even more so than needles. And it has also all the bacteria. So you're opening yourself up to all kinds of other kind of infections and bacteria and health risks that you don't have with any other kind of sex act. And the CDC has issued warnings about this, that you can get hepatitis A and B and parasites and all kinds of things from having this kind of high-risk activity. And, you know, this isn't put out to the kids. You know, they'll just say, just drop on a condom and that'll all be okay. But really, in this act, that's not very protective. In fact, 51% of HIV transmissions is through this kind of act with condoms. So that's very problematic, and we don't want our young kids being exposed to high-risk sexual behavior, and yet this kind of magazine encourages it.
The sad thing is that Teen Vogue is actually only reflecting the popularity of this activity among America's teens, isn't it?
Absolutely. Great point. And let me remind people, this is ages 11 to 17. So think about this. Your 11-year-old being exposed to this kind of sexual activity and talking about it. And it is reflecting culture. I mean, Teen Vogue just didn't pull this out of the air. This is seeping into everything. It's in, people are calling for this in our sexual education system. And, you know, talking about every kind of kinky thing that can be done as if that's sexual education, when it's not. And that's not what sexual education should be. And also, we should not be getting our education about something so intimate and something that involves not only the physical aspects, but a moral framework. We shouldn't be getting it from places like Teen Vogue that's perpetuating myths and these ideas of all the normalcy of this in a very flattering, slick, cool kind of way. Nestled into a magazine that has lots of other sexualization going on.
That's kind of the first social factor that you list there, the over-sexualization of culture, and then especially of our teens. The second one that may account for this and the rise of this activity among kids is that the media has, at least on occasion, portrayed this as good and healthy and hip.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we all know that the big cause of this is ever since the 60s, we had the sexual revolution, and now we just have an open, permissive sexual society, and that ball's been rolling for several decades now. But recently, we've had in the media, television shows, pop culture, film, more and more depictions of anal sex, and we weren't having that back in the 50s, folks. I mean, this wasn't going on even back in the 80s when I was in high school. This is something that's very new, and I'm talking about new among heterosexual young people. And it's being portrayed in our media. You turn on the television, and there it is. You turn on HBO, and there it is. And, that's just making it more palatable to people, and it's desensitizing us to kinds of behaviors that are actually really deviant and unhealthy.
What role does pornography play?
Pornography, it's the third one I listed out of four. Pornography is huge, I believe, and the evidence bears that out. Even though there are some studies out there that like to claim that pornography has no impact on our young people or anyone, it actually does. There's many studies that prove that it does. It affects how their brains are wired, and young boys, 12, 13, 14, are a huge audience for pornography. Many, many of these boys are watching pornography. They're having their minds and their sexuality and their interest and their taste formed by porn, which is just laden with a lot of deviant kind of sex. And a sex that is brutalizing to women and disrespectful to women, and where it's all about just their own sexual gratification. It's not in the context at all of intimacy and developing relationships and treating people holistically as human beings. It's just about animalistic behavior, and it's being portrayed, and it's seeping into our young people's minds. And it is rewiring them, and it creates a behavior that they want to emulate.
And the final factor that you list in your recent column has to do with the general acceptance of homosexual behavior in general.
Absolutely. I really think that this is a factor, and I think it's why, even though we've had porn before and we had the sexual revolution, why all of a sudden in just the last few years, and we're talking this is very recent, that this heterosexual young anal sex is going on, it correlates with the rise of the acceptance of homosexuality. And, you know, just like I compared it in my article, there are impacts to embracing subcultures and fusing it into the broader culture. Back in the civil rights era, the black culture became fused with the broader culture and impacted it greatly in many good ways, through hip-hop impacted music, style, fashion, even how we talk is very much impacted. And I see the same thing happening with homosexuality, but I don't put it in the same positive light that I would some of the other in the past. And we see it everywhere. It's in education, it's in the media, it's in our literature, it's in our politics. Everywhere is about the free expression and acceptance and the normalizing homosexual behavior. And I'm not saying that we don't embrace homosexuals as human beings and love them. I'm talking about the correlation of their sex acts, which at one time in the past was considered sodomy, was considered wrong. It was even illegal. I think it's still illegal on the books in many states. I'm not saying that it should be, but that's just the past that we had. Now we've moved to, it's great and so great that our kids should be having it. I think there's definitely an impact from the homosexual acceptance of their lifestyle, which is so fixated on homoerotic involvement, that it has had a trickle-down effect or flood into our society.
Finally, then, I guess the question has to be posed. Some would say, and I think you even cite this earlier in your article, that this is really the result of kind of a purity culture and a push for abstinence, and that these kids are finding a way around it. What are your thoughts there?
Right, and Christians really need to be aware that this is the message that's going out to people. They're saying the reason why we have a rise of anal sex and this kind of behavior among young girls is not because of immorality or any of these other factors that's influencing them from the culture, but because we have a culture of purity among religious people, that they're making it so difficult for these young people, saying that they shouldn't get pregnant and that they don't want to get diseases and definitely no pregnancy, so they should be virgins, they should take virginity pledges and all these kinds of things, and that's driving them to have anal sex because they want to stay quote-unquote technical virgins. So it's the fault of people, religious people, teaching people to stay pure. So if they would only stop that, then these kids would just be having vaginal sex and they wouldn't be going with anal sex, which actually doesn't bear out in truth either because there's plenty of them doing both. But this blaming a purity culture is just ridiculous. While there are some girls who claim that, who say, you know, I want to technically stay a virgin, so I'm going to have anal sex, most of them, studies have found, is that the reason why girls often choose to do anal sex and not vaginal sex is because they don't want to, just for socioeconomic reasons, get pregnant. They don't want to ruin their future. And my question to that is, you know, why is it that in the days that we live right now, I mean, in the past, when I was young, when you were young, grandparents are thinking, girls were always under this pressure of not to get pregnant, right? And so why is the go-to now anal sex? It wasn't the go-to back in my day. It wasn't the go-to back in the 1950s. I can promise you that. Girls either just went ahead and had sex or they refrained, but they didn't go to anal sex. And I'm just saying that there's these other influences on culture that's degrading it even more. And it's getting worse and worse and worse as we're treating ourselves and our children and each other like animals.
D.C. McAllister is a journalist based in Charlotte, North Carolina. Senior contributor to The Federalist and author of a recent column there titled Moms Have a Good Reason for Burning Teen Vogue Over Anal Sex Explainer. We'll post a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. DC, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back, it's part 5 of our series on 16th century reformer Martin Luther's prayers. We're going to be talking about Luther's sacristy prayer. The sacristy is that little room often found off the chancel in your church where the pastor may vest or the sacrament is prepared. There's often a prayer in there. Often your pastor is even saying that prayer. We'll find out how it goes from the pen of Martin Luther in our series on Martin Luther's prayers with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller right after this.
Stuck in traffic? Waiting in a line at the grocery store? Do better than scrolling through pictures of your aunt's chai latte and your friend's distraught statuses regarding the baseball game on Facebook. Download the digital version of The Lutheran Witness and get your theological fix instead. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness for special offer. $6.99 for 6 issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
What does it mean that Jesus Christ is our great high priest, the greater Moses, and the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies? The New Concordia Commentary on Hebrews is the Issues Etc. book of the month. It's written by regular guest Dr. John Kleinig. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your pastor would deeply appreciate the New Concordia Commentary on Hebrews, 1-800-325-3040.
Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota would like to invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 9:30. Whether you are visiting our beautiful city or live here, we have liturgical worship that shares Jesus with you. We're easy to find at 20th Avenue East and Superior Street, and also offer Bible classes at 8:25 Sunday mornings with Sunday school September through May. Check out our website for other Bible study times, visit or call 218-724-2500.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler, or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.